The question today is, does a person have to come to the end of self to be saved? For an answer to that question, we need to define what self is, or define self, and then look at what the Bible has to say. Self has been said to be that part of a man that wants its own way, number one. Number two, it doesn't want to be criticized. Number three, it wants to be praised. And number four, it has an appetite. The more self has its own way, the more it wants it, the less self is criticized, the less it wants. The more self is praised, the more it wants. So one can see from that definition that self wants to reign as Lord of one's life. Therefore, for one to be saved, they must come to the end of self. For Jesus has to be Lord. Now, coming to the end of self is not a phrase used in the Bible, but it's a principle taught. And that's what Jesus referred to in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26. Let me read the whole thing there. He said, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So that's what he's referring to here. In other words, a principle of coming to the end of yourself. In other words, he said in verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The word deny means to forget oneself or to lose sight of oneself or one's own interest. And it didn't say to deny himself of Coca-Cola or some pleasure. It just said to deny self. To do that, one must die to self. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul said, "I am crucified." That's one word in the Greek, with the tense being perfect tense, which means that there was a past completed action with existing results. In other words, it was a completed act in past time of the crucifixion of the old man, but yet it has present finished results. Paul also said of himself in Romans chapter 6, verse number 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now the words "is crucified" with the words "are one in," "is crucified with" is one word in the Greek. And in other words, it has a tense being aorist tense, which means point action. So Paul was crucified when he was saved. And of course, that was on the street called Straight, not on the road to Damascus, but on the street called Straight after 3 days of being there counting the cost. There's where he was saved. Now, at the point when salvation occurred, Saul was crucified and Paul was made alive, a new creature in Christ. The crucifixion requires an executioner, though. You can't do it yourself. And that executioner is the Holy Ghost. Now, a person can kill himself many ways, but he cannot crucify himself. That is the work of the Holy Ghost of God in godly sorrow and Holy Ghost conviction as He reproves, convicts, and convinces one a person of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We use those verses over and over. And that's the important verses, John 16, 8 through 11. When He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. That's why salvation is of the Lord. He has to do that work. It's His work to bring man to the end of himself so that he can be saved. So it's clear in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, which we read to you, that Jesus is speaking about salvation. When he asked two questions in verse 26, we know it's speaking about salvation. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now the word deny in verse number 24 is in the aorist tense, which means point action. When the Holy Ghost begins a work in the sinner's life, He brings or He draws that individual. John 6:44 says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day." But He draws him to a point where crucifixion takes place, which is at the end of self. Now, that principle is a must in one's life if he's to be saved. As long as self is alive, that person will not want the Lord to reign over his life. So then one of the best examples we could give is an Old Testament example of Jacob. The word Jacob itself, his name means surplanter, which means to take the place of, or especially taking the place of through scheming. That was the characteristic of Jacob's life, as he took the birthright and blessing from Esau by scheming. And as a result, he had to flee from Esau for in fear of his life. Now we see him as he had an encounter, though, in Genesis 28 with God. He's still trying to make a deal. Genesis 28, verse 20 through 22 states, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Now you notice in verse number 20, he stated, "If God be with me." And then in verse number 21, he stated, "Then shall the Lord be my God." In other words, he's still trying to make a deal. Old self is still very much alive in Jacob at this point. So Genesis 28 is not where he was saved. Because one doesn't get saved by making deals with God. But you get saved by taking Jesus as Lord. You don't make him Lord. He's already Lord. But you take him as Lord. And that takes a finished, completed work of Holy Ghost conviction to bring you that place. And it has to be a crucifixion of self before you'll ever get to that place. Now, Jacob, it's evident from his own statement in verse number 21 that he was not saved. "Then shall the Lord be my God." But he wasn't, in other words, he isn't saying he's his God. So for the next 20 years of his life, he still followed the same old pattern of scheming as he dealt with Laban. He wasn't any different. He wasn't a changed man at that time. His life wasn't changed. And then as God spoke to him, and God does speak to lost men, by the way, many people don't believe that, but we've used that before on Ask the Pastor. And again, if you have any problems with what I have to speak to you on this radio broadcast, I beg you, send your questions to us, because you're noble to ask, Acts 17:11 said. But we know that he followed the same old pattern, and God spoke to him, though, and told him to go back to Bethel, knowing that he would have to face Esau. So he devised his own plan, and that's what Jacob did. He devised his own plan to soften Esau's heart. He put out a little group of sheep and animals here, and the people tried appeasing Esau. He concerned that his plan might not get the job done, and begins to pray. Now, I'll not read all that, but in Genesis 32 is when he begins to pray, 9 through 12. And when he does that, he prays to the God of his father Abraham, the God of his father Isaac. But he never mentions him as his God, because he's not yet. "Then you shall be my Lord," when he brings him back in good health and prosperity, in essence, as he said in Job in Genesis 28. And so as a result, that's the first time recorded that Jacob prayed to God. Now, when self gets backed in the corner, he usually likes to have a bit of extra insurance by asking God to help out. And that's what Jacob did at that time. So Jacob then got alone by Brook Peniel, where he wrestled with a man whom he later referred to as God until the breaking of day. Now Jacob was trying to get loose from God, trying to get out from under conviction, if you please. Kind of like Paul comparing as the Lord spoke to him in Acts 9:5 and said, It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Paul was kicking against the conviction that he had since the day that he'd heard Stephen pray and heard him preach and watched him die. He hadn't gotten away from that. And here we find that, in essence, this is the type of conviction as God is wrestling him down. That's what God does in Holy Ghost conviction, more or less to pin you down to where you holler calf rope and get to the end of yourself. And that's what he did to Jacob, or was doing to Jacob. And Jacob was trying to get loose. He didn't want to go God's way. He didn't want a Lord in his life. He didn't want somebody to tell him what to do. He wanted to be his own old conniving, scheming way that he always had been. And he wrestled with God, trying to get loose from God. And yet Genesis 32:25 reveals that when God saw that he couldn't prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, which was the strength of his legs. And Jacob was now helpless. I mean, probably he had some kind of a scheme up his sleeve, we could say. And that would be, he could outrun Esau. Probably as a boy, he maybe outrun Esau. I don't know. Of course, he's 90-something years old at this point in time. But still, after God touched the hollow of his thigh, took all hope away that he could. He no longer had two good legs. No longer could he outrun Esau. And so, at that point, Jacob grabbed hold of God. And then God said, "Let me go, for day breaketh." And in other words, but Jacob replied, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." In other words, he's at the point. He knows his only hope, his only help, his only way out is through God and no other way. And it was that point where Jacob came to the end of himself and God became his Lord. He was saved and became a new creature in Christ. His name was changed to Israel, which means a prince with God. His life began to show he was different because he put away strange God, put the idols away, began to build altars, and for the first time in it recorded in his life, he built an altar and began to call on the name of the Lord. As all this resulted because God brought him to the end of self. Self got off the throne of his life, and the Lord got on. And that's what happens when one is saved. And you know, therefore, the question we had asked to us, does a person have to come to the end of self to be saved? And I'll have to state plainly, with an emphatic yes, you have to come to the end of yourself. I know it's not a Bible word, but it's a Bible principle. When he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There has to be a coming of the phrase that we would use the principle to the end of yourself. And it takes a Holy Ghost conviction to bring you to that place. And he's the executioner. That's the death blow. That brings you to that place of heart repentance, and therefore you take and trust Jesus as Lord. Lord. Oh, we have so many today who don't even want to believe that. They believe that Jesus becomes your Lord down the road. We'll deal with that at a later time. But we must declare that Jesus must be Lord at salvation. He's going to be Lord of all, or he will not be Lord at all. And that only comes whenever self gets off the throne, And the Lord is allowed on the throne, and that's because of the completed work of Holy Ghost conviction that brings you to that place. I beg you, please let God finish that work in you. Oh, so many people in our churches today are so full of self, and they've never had Jesus as their Lord, and yet they claim that they're going to be in heaven, but the Bible says you must come to the end of yourself to be saved. And that means Jesus is your Lord, and he's on the throne of your heart. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.